Space News 102. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of September 26, 2025. Several weeks have passed since I informed you about the missing little grey alien gardeners. And unfortunately, they are still nowhere to be found. This problem has now transcended to the bulk of the main Federation races, who have actively been searching for them while their starships roam all the corners of the galaxy, doing countless other things. Right now, a vast network of Federation starships is transmitting messages all over the place for any Zeta Greys that may remain, but none of their messages have had any luck. As you know, what makes space exploration, and in this case, space search, so difficult, is the elaborate time-slip differentials between each sector in space and even between each planet. There is already a strong differential between the value of any unit of time amongst Mars, Venus, and Earth. Furthermore, even NASA has accepted that time runs slower for astronauts in their spacecraft orbiting the planet, even if it is only a few seconds. The difference between how time is perceived by as Ed Nidia and her Antarian fleet orbiting Earth at high altitude, just above the Moon, and our Tejetan fleet at low Earth orbit is a very marked 5 minutes, where time moves more slowly for the Antarians, and that is just orbiting Earth itself. Imagine the difference between here and the other side of the galaxy. My point is that the little grey aliens, the friendly ones, may still exist somewhere, and we are hoping for that. I will not say that they may still exist in another timeline, because as such, they don't exist, as there is only one us, and timelines as described on Earth are only a concept that is generated by different perceptions of time. Timelines are a perception, not something you live as something external, as they are only a perception of yourself and who you are. Anyhow, from our point of view, and from the point of view that concerns us here, we are missing the little Zeta Reticuli grey aliens, and as their home planet has been invaded by forces from Orion, things are not looking well for them. Moving to something different, I must insist that we still don't know what they are talking about when the media on Earth mentions 3I Atlas, because what they are supposedly seeing and following from there is not what we are seeing from here, which is normality. We cannot know for sure what is going on in the minds of the people who are pushing the notion that 3I Atlas is something other than a simple comet, but it certainly smells like the start of the false alien invasion, so beware with that false banner that we all know is coming. We do see many comets from here, but nothing unusual, only the boring stuff we are all used to seeing from up here, and that always follow large and complicated solar systems such as this one. Moving to something else, just yesterday I was informed that the old and emblematic starship Talika has been repaired, refurbished, and enhanced. Therefore, she is now back in the active starship list of the Tejetan fleet, although she remains in Talika City Starport, awaiting crew and mission. Talika, which is the first starship of her class to be built and therefore all the ones that follow are also classified as Talikas, or Talika-class starships, named after the capital city of Tejetan society and culture, Talika City. She was built in the Earth year 1935, and is one of the starships with the longest service record of the entire fleet, having participated heavily in monitoring and attempting to change Earth's history into a more positive timeline. Pardon my using timelines again when I just said that as such, they do not exist, but this is for explanatory purposes only. Starship Talika participated during the highly controversial Tejetan intervention during World War II, and was also present during all the negotiations between Cold War leaders during the 1950s and 60s, where her then crew was in contact with President Eisenhower and with Nikita Khrushchev, and had a heavy influence on the denuclearization treaties that followed the Cuban Missile Crisis that, by the way, did not occur as you are told. It was just an arrangement where the United States agreed to remove its Jupiter missiles from Turkey, and Russia its own from Cuba. The rest of what you are told is nothing other than Western propaganda, selling the people American bravery. And the world was never close to destruction back then, not more than usual, as that is more fear-mongering, as always. And I know this because the crew of Starship Talika were looking at everything and talking to both governments back then. You don't have to take my word for this, as it is available information down there on Earth, knowing where to look. Starship Talika and her crew also took part in the formation of the New Age movement, which was quickly overtaken by three-letter agencies who twisted and turned it in their favor. This was in the mid-1960s. And then Starship Talika also participated in the first attempts to bring direct information to the people of Earth through a chosen contact from Switzerland who would represent the Tajitans, as all their messages would be transmitted through this man with one arm, whose name I'd rather not mention, as contact with him did not end well as he started to make things up, including photographs, some of them, not all, and turn everything into something like a cult, much contrary to the Tajitans' intentions. That is why it is so important that I write directly and send all my messages directly to all of you, and not use any other person, representative or whatever, in between, as historically such people always end up messing everything up, as they always end up mixing their own interests with what really matters. Then, Starship Talika also participated as the main ship during the ill-fated Project First Contact, and then during the series of attempts to convey information to the people of Earth through several people, as you know, until lack of maintenance and years piling up onto her aging hull forced the Tajitans to retire her. For several years, Starship Talika was the only Tajitan vessel orbiting Earth, mostly as the flagship of former Queen Alanim, and functioned with a very small skeleton crew of 30 people, when the official required number of crew was close to 500. This lack of personnel was also part of the reason why maintenance problems and issues accumulated inside Talika, as even with the best maintenance efforts of her small crew, she faced much neglect. Back then, when she was retired from active service, she faced the possibility of being scrapped, as it's easier for the Tajitans to build a new ship than to repair an aging one with countless problems inside. Yet in the case of Starship Talika, her long service history and historical value protected her, as we all preferred to make a big effort repairing her rather than having her slip into oblivion in a sad and dishonorable way. Starship Talika has been given a second chance, as her initial design was also respected, and even when new technology replaced her older one wherever it was needed, her essence remains the same. Any changes were made to her only for reliability and update purposes, and for her to function properly in this day and age, whatever that means with so many time differentials all over the place. Starship Talika has always been linked to the Tajitan expeditionary forces visiting Earth, so it is highly probable that she will return here to Earth's low orbit, rejoining the existing Tajitan fleet. Last Monday, this week, the new Starship Elnath returned to Tema, to her builders, who will install several engine improvements, which may take longer than expected, so the crew of the Elnath may move to Talika at least temporarily, and they may be the ones to bring her here to low Earth orbit once more. This is still being discussed, so I cannot assure anything yet, although Talika's return here is a given. The only thing in question now is who will be its new crew. Talking about crew members, last Wednesday, one of the original crew members of the Starship Talika, Salah File, returned to join his friends and family here after having been in Temma for several months. He is very happy to be back here in low Earth orbit, where his experience dealing with humans directly face-to-face on the surface is much needed, especially during supply missions. I am also glad to inform you that former Queen Alanim and her husband Keela have also rejoined the crew of my starship, where they will remain visiting for some time before returning to their house in Talika City. I must say this next to avoid speculations. Alanim is no longer the Taygetan Queen, and she is not active in politics or in any other similar endeavors. She is here only as a civilian visitor and will not interfere with my job as the Taygetan Queen. I am the Queen now, and I no longer need mentors, nor do I need to ask anyone for permission to make any of my decisions. Moving to something else, we have detected a lot of Orion movement from their high-orbiting starships to Earth, through portals. This augmentation in activity is seen as a clear sign of direct manipulation against the people of Earth, even more so as we can correlate this to the Cabal, their puppet politicians and their movements and agendas on the surface. They are clearly speeding up their plans and their false banners, and I do connect this to the possibility of them using 3i Atlas as the starter for the false alien invasion. But as I have said before, we can never know exactly what they are planning to do or when, because they use countless drills and staged events to study the public's reaction, to perfect their next move, to drain the people's patience and will to fight back. We saw a clear example of this during the drone craze, mostly over the New Jersey and New York area, nearly a year ago. It looked clearly like the start of the false alien invasion, but it faded away quite fast, leaving most people with a careless attitude towards such things and subjects. In other words, it was just a psyop. I say this even knowing that there were several non-human drones there in the mix, observing what was going on, and this includes my drones from my ships, as we needed to know what was really going on there. There was a lot of talk back then about an alien base being flooded, and or attacked by Cabal forces, and that was the reason for so much UFO activity, but our direct data coming from our drones does not support any of that, as we clearly detected human-made remotely controlled machines taking off from Air Force bases and from ships at sea to perform the PSYOP, and the use of quite basic aerial holograms was also present, which were also being generated by those same drones, generating a more or less convincing light show to test the nerves of the human population. The data that proves direct interference of Orion races will come very handy to prove our points and to gain more support from the still dubious Federation star races, who interfere with our triad efforts to help the human population, thinking that they are protecting them. The small Taygetan crafts designed to look like a human helicopter are ready to enter service, and the first ones will be transported here in the next supply mission next week. All their technical problems and challenges have been solved, and they are expected to perform perfectly. Just as a reference, non-human craft looking like human vehicles to perform tasks close to humans is nothing new. As the great Salvador Freixedo explained in one of his books, it is either in the one named, Let's Defend Ourselves from the Gods, or in the one titled, The Human Farm. I don't know exactly which, as I am writing from the top of my head, but I am quite sure it is in the first one I mentioned. I heavily recommend that you read them, as much of what is going on, even with my group, is explained there. Or at least it is relevant for further understanding. Related to what I just said, The rescues nearly stopped because of a lack of actionable intelligence and the resources to get more of it as a result of last month's online mess, but they are now coming back up to speed and are expected to improve even more in the next few weeks as the helicopter crafts enter service. With few exceptions, we are no longer taking most people off planet. We simply pose as more humans, and we return the rescued back to their families or are placed somewhere out of harm's way. Notice that I did not say that they are given to authorities, as we all know they are compromised, at least most of them. We have not found any people from off-planet, or from Taygeta or Antaria, in the last few weeks, as they were most surely taken much deeper underground. But with our new helicopter craft in service, this will also be sped up, even though this does not depend only on aerial vehicles. We are not leaving anyone behind. This is all I have for you today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation. Your friend, Marie.